sounds like... The Millennium Falcon dives, and the TIE fighters follow. Soon, they are zipping over the craterous surface of the moon-sized asteroid. The TIE fighters in pursuit. The Falcon roars over a star-blue cliff edge and then dives into a canyon. The fighters follow, close behind, firing off an occasional pot shot as they try to follow Han's reckless course.
Oh, this is suicide!
And then, it's over. The canyon, that is. Nothing but a blue stone wall.
Hold on!
Han shouts far too late. The Falcon rises straight up. The passengers go flying. The ship's belly is scraping the asteroid's blue stone. Han is wrestling with the controls, trying to pull up higher, higher into the black sky above. Below them, the two TIE fighters slam into the wall and explode. C-3PO and Leia pull themselves to their feet and then grip the walls again. The Falcon is now doing a slow flip. They both slide up the walls until they are plastered against the ceiling and then slide down to the floor again. Leia, on her knees, says, I love it when you drive.
There,
Han says.
That looks pretty good.
What looks good? C-3PO, sitting on the floor, says,
I have not registered a single good thing about this situation, sir. Of all the situations I have been in, which number some 8,300,000,
says Chewbacca, which means, roughly translated, shut up. The Falcon is heading back toward the asteroid now. On the surface, there is a small black cave. Han is heading straight for it. Leia says, no. Han says,
yep.
I hope you know what you're doing, she mutters.
Yeah,
Han replies.
Me too.
A moment later, the Millennium Falcon disappears into the cave on the face of the asteroid. Lesson Row, navigating an asteroid field. This next test needs to be done in a room that belongs to you, because you need to get that room messy. Put objects all over the floor. Toys, books, pillows, whatever. If you're outside, maybe you can use stones, twigs, and book bags. Now, stand on one leg, breathe, feel your breath pass from your nose, down your throat, into your stomach, down your rooted leg, and into the ground. When you feel fully rooted, start hopping. Hop from one end of the room to the other without touching anything, including the strewn objects. Whether you're in an asteroid field or the jungle on Dagobah, as a Jedi, you must feel what is around you, must take it into your mind and respond to it as if it were a part of your very body. According to Yoda, after all, it is. If this test is easy, try it with your eyes closed. Chapter 21. In the asteroid, it is as dark as the insides of a tauntaun. It doesn't smell quite as bad, though. A tunnel, just large enough for the Falcon, winds into the core of the blue space stone. Han follows it, slowly. What are we doing here? Leia whispers. Chewie says, which means the same thing.
We need a safe place for repairs. Can't face those Star Destroyers again with no hyperdrive motivator.
The ship wends deeper and deeper into the asteroid. It is like entering a new world. A new world where there is no light, no sound, no sensations at all. C-3PO informs the crew that
there are no official records of exploration of the center of asteroids. That means it might be quite dangerous.
Everyone finds this commentary extremely insightful. Han brings the ship to a bumpy landing in the blackness of the cave.
Hey, Chewie,
he says, climbing out of the pilot's seat.
Come help.
The pirate starship sits for hours in darkness as Han and Chewbacca touch wires together and screw and unscrew bolts they don't really recognize. C-3PO tries to supervise them, regularly giving unhelpful advice. Leia stays in the cockpit, watching the readings on the dials. After a while, Han joins her there. C-3PO follows him, nattering away.
I wonder, sir, if attaching the cobalt wire to crimson wire was really such a good idea. Not that I'm questioning your authority, sir. Your expertise, perhaps. But never your authority.
Okay, says Han, ignoring the droid and addressing Leia. I'm gonna shut down the main...
Suddenly, the ship lurches violently to the right. The three inhabitants of the cockpit are thrown against blinking control panels. The Vulcan settles. They stand, not moving, barely breathing.
Sir, it is quite possible that this asteroid is not entirely stable.
Not entirely stable?
Han replies.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things. Not entirely stable. Professor, why don't you go help Chewie with the hyperdrive? See if he appreciates your analysis.
C-3PO totters out of the cockpit, muttering to himself about understanding over 6 million languages, but not quite having mastered the one called sarcasm. The ship lurches again, even more violently this time. Han is thrown into the control panel again, while Leia is thrown into Han's arms. The ship settles. He smiles at her.
Let go, she snaps.
Don't get excited, princess, he replies. He does not let go.
She pushes him away.
Being held by you, Captain, isn't quite enough to get me excited.
What follows is a flirtation that kind of looks like a fight. Or maybe it's a fight that kind of looks like flirtation. I've never really been very good at telling the difference. Anyway, it's irrelevant to your training, so I'm skipping it. Suffice it to say that Han and Leia end up kissing. If that sort of thing interests you, you can imagine it yourself. And then, C-3PO interrupts the kiss, announcing that Chewbacca has made a breakthrough with the hyperdrive motivator. Han comes very close to disabling the golden droid and affixing him to the exterior of the Falcon as a hood ornament. But he follows the droid to the mechanical bay to see what Chewie's done. Not 5 minutes later, Leia shouts from the cockpit. Han and Chewbacca come running. The princess is pointing into the darkness. Her face is as white as her royal tunic. There's something out there. Just as she says it, an object lands somewhere on the Falcon. Han listens. A sound rises out of the darkness. Regular, persistent, almost like something is gnawing on the ship. A panel of lights in the cockpit flickers and winks out.
I'm going out there,
Han says.
Are you serious?
We just got this bucket of bolts back together. I'm not going to let something tear it apart.
Or eat it,
Leia mutters. Han ducks from the cockpit.
Wait, Leia shouts. I'm coming with you,
says Chewbacca, which means me too. The scruffy space pirate, the princess, and the walking mop don oxygen masks to enable breathing in the nearly non-existent atmosphere of the asteroid. Han lowers the gangway, and he, Leia, and Chewbacca slowly make their way down it. Han is carrying a blaster. Chewbacca has his bowcaster, which is like a crossbow that uses magnets to fire energy bolts. You should definitely ask for one of those for your next birthday. I know I'm going to. As the small group steps from the steel gangway to the floor of the asteroid, Leia says,
It's damp out here, and warmer than I expected.
Han tries to gaze through the darkness, but he can't make out much. Somewhere in the distance is the sound of dripping water.
I have a bad feeling about this place,
whispers the princess.
I can't imagine why,
Han replies. Chewbacca barks and points to the ship's cockpit. A 2-meter-long shape can be seen gliding across the top of the Falcon, like a barracuda swimming through the dark waters of an ocean reef. Han turns on a heel and lets loose a laser blast. The creature screeches, beating leathery wings against the dark. Han shoots again. It falls to the cave floor. Han, followed by the others, hurries to its crumpled form. He kicks it with his boot.
moving a large wing away from his huge, gnarled, bat-like face. Leia shudders. So does Chewie.
"What I thought," says Han. "Minox. Probably chewing on the power cables. Chewie, check the rest of the ship. Last thing we need in a fight with a Star Destroyer is..."
"Watch out!"
Leia shouts. Swooping out of the darkness is a pack of them, their toothy mouths screeching, their flattened noses hissing, their horrible eyes wide.
"Run!"
Han cries, firing into the swarm of cold-blooded, leather-winged parasites. Chewie and Leia sprint for the Falcon's gangway. Han fires again, his shot going low and hitting the floor of the cave. Suddenly, the asteroid is sliding again, listing to the right. As the small crew of the Falcon tries to regain their footing, the Minox descend upon them, swarming, their claws and sucking mouths lunging at hair, clothes, skin. Han looks desperately around. With one arm he covers his head. With the other, he levels his blaster at the ground by his feet, which is hard, he has suddenly realized, but not rock hard. He fires. The asteroid lurches again.
"Time to go," he cries.
They all manage to crawl or stumble up the gangway, frantically swatting the Minox away with arms and elbows, blasters and a crossbow. Chewbacca turns and pulverizes one last Minox as the hatch begins to close. Once the hatch is secure, Han leads a mad dash for the cockpit.
"We're getting out of here."
"The Star Cruisers will be waiting for us,"
Leia objects, running after him.
"Is it really?"
"No time to discuss this in committee,"
Han snaps.
"Chewie, initiate the engines."
"No,"
Leia growls at him.
"I am not a committee."
As they come tumbling into the cockpit, C-3PO says,
"Sir, I really think it's time for us to consider leaving."
"You know, Goldenrod, I think this is the first time we've seen eye to eye. I'm so glad."
"Oh, so am I, sir. So am I."
Han rolls his eyes, initiates the lifters, and the ship lurches off the rock floor of the cave. Han pushes on the accelerator, and the Falcon leans forward, picking up speed. He steers them through the winding tunnel, his fingers squeezing the steering column hard enough to leave indents. Chewbacca howls and points. They can see stars again, set against the black velvet of space. C-3PO becomes even more agitated.
"Look, sir, it's..."
"I see it,"
Han barks. Stalactites and stalagmites, like jagged teeth, are closing in on them. Up ahead, the view of space is dwindling, the stars winking out behind stone.
"The cave's collapsing,"
cries Leia.
"This is no cave,"
Han bellows. It's true. They are not stalactites and stalagmites. They are teeth. The cave is not a cave. It is a mouth. The tunnel was not a tunnel. It was a throat of something. Something large. As the massive mouth is just about to shut, the Falcon, no bigger than a single tooth, shoots out of the darkness and into the greater darkness of space. Behind it, a monstrous, worm-like creature, white and eyeless, and nearly the size of a Star Destroyer itself, erupts from the hole in the asteroid and tries to swallow the ship up. The Falcon screams ahead, and everyone inside screams too. But the ship is fast enough, just fast enough, to outpace the space worm's snapping jaws. The worm, disappointed, slides back into the asteroid. The ship, meanwhile, slides into space. Inside, sweating and heaving, Han guides them toward the edge of the asteroid field, where the Star Destroyers are waiting. Lesson Sigma: Punching in the Dark. You're going to have someone toss soft objects at you again. You're going to block them away. But this time, your eyes are going to be closed. Face the person. Close your eyes and breathe. Listen to the room. Feel it. When you say go, the person is going to, very gently, toss these objects at your face and chest.
You will try to block them away with your hands.
Listen for the objects. Feel them. Do not guess. Feel.
You will miss. You'll probably miss more than you hit.
That's okay. Don't get frustrated. Remember, anger leads to the dark side. If you can stay calm during this activity, that is more valuable than batting away the objects. If you can do both, though, you're really on to something.
Chapter 22.
They stare at the enormous Imperial ships. Everyone's breathing through open mouths. Hearts are beating hard. Everyone except C-3PO, of course, who finds both respiration and circulation superfluous. Still, he's more scared than the rest of them combined.
Okay,
Han says.
Ready for light speed.
Any minute now, Leia mutters. Then out of the blackness of space, a laser blast rocks the Falcon. They've been spotted.
Hold on,
Han bellows.
One, two.
Leia looks in trepidation as another laser bolt screams toward them.
Three!
The four space travelers look expectantly at the stars. Nothing. Again.
It's not fair,
Han whines.
The blast rocks the ship, rattling the gears and bolts and cylinders. C-3PO is frantic.
Sir, the shields are at 40%. Another hit like that and we're done for.
Han looks at his meter readings.
Okay, Chewie, give me all power to the forward shields. I'm going in.
You're going to attack them? Leia shrieks. The Millennium Falcon dives at the nearest Star Destroyer. Bright green blasts light up the space around them.
Sir, the odds of surviving a direct attack on an Imperial Star Destroyer are...
Shut up! Leia shouts.
But in case you want to know, the odds of the Falcon surviving an attack on an Imperial Star Destroyer are about the same as the odds of a lame half-blind bunny surviving an attack on a hungry tiger. Give or take. The ship dives at the destroyer, lasers blazing. It is one brave bunny.
On the bridge of the Imperial Star Destroyer, Captain Nita, commander of the vessel, grins.
We have them now.
The Falcon hurtles through space, aiming directly, it seems, for the viewing deck of the bridge.
Closer it comes. Closer. Closer.
Fire!
He cries. But the red laser blast misses. The Falcon is coming too fast. Too low. The captain's face goes white. The Falcon is 100 meters away. 80. 60. 40. 20. Duck! Screams the captain.
He throws himself to the floor, as if that would do any good. His face is pressed against the cold, sheer steel, waiting for impact. Nothing. When he looks up at last, the sky is empty. Just a million crystalline stars.
Where are they?
Nita bellows. Behind him, his lieutenants check their readings frantically.
We can't find them, sir. They've just disappeared.
What? Nonsense. Where are they?
But they search the readings to no avail. The Falcon is gone.
An hour later, brave Captain Nita boards a shuttle that takes him from his Star Destroyer to the flagship of the fleet. As he disembarks, his stomach twists into a knot. He listens to his own footsteps echo along the glossy floors of the Imperial ship.
He's been a good captain, he tells himself. Everything will be fine.
When he arrives at the bridge, he finds Darth Vader addressing a motley collection of space creatures.
There is a Tadoshok, a Gand, and a Corellian cyborg, among others.
You might not know what any of those look like, but trust me, they're weird. Just imagine some weird dude standing around listening to Vader.
Oh, yeah. And they're carrying guns.
Lots of guns. They're bounty hunters, by the way. They specialize in tracking hard-to-find pilots and their ships. In one corner, standing apart, is a man in a battered, dirty spacesuit. His name is Boba Fett. He knows the Falcon from its days on Tatooine, and he knows the Empire is not the only one who wants it found, that there is money to be made twice on this ship. He also knows the man who captains it, and how he thinks. Darth Vader senses Captain Nita's presence. He stops speaking.
Lord Vader,
the captain says. He can feel his neck beginning to constrict. Calm yourself, he thinks. When the Dark Lord turns, his cape sweeps out behind him, like a storm cloud covering the sun.
What is it, Captain?
The captain represses a shudder.
We've lost them.
The grip on his throat is no less painful for being invisible. The air stops flowing to his lungs. Blood ceases circulating in his brain. His eyesight fades to white.
Apology accepted,
Vader murmurs, and turns back to the bounty hunters. Stormtroopers swoop in to dispose of Captain Nita's body. The Millennium Falcon perches on the back of former Captain Nita's Star Destroyer. Just behind its main radar tower, too close to be seen. They say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Han Solo is demonstrating the truth of that adage in the extreme.
Well, Leia admits reluctantly, staring at the bristling gun turret that would be aimed directly at them, if only its operator knew where they were. That was a neat trick.
I don't know what you're talking about,
C-3PO complains.
Captain Solo, you have gone too far. No, Chewbacca, I will not be quiet. Surrender is a perfectly acceptable alternative in extreme circumstances. The Empire may be gracious
after you.
Leia reaches over and shuts off C-3PO's audio output speakers. He flails his arms in fury. Han smiles and leans back in his chair, his hands cradled behind his head.
Now, the princess continues, how do we get off?
These cruisers like to dump their space junk before jumping into hyperspace. We'll wait for that and float away with the trash.
That suits this ship, Leia mutters.
Hey.
And then? Assuming your garbage camouflage holds up?
Han leans forward.
Then, we've got to find a safe port around here to complete repairs. Any ideas?
Chewbacca brings up an electronic map on the ship's main control panel. The small crew pores over it. Han groans.
A NOAAD system. Nothing around here but mining colonies, and...
He pauses. He is suddenly interested.
And Lando?
The Lando system,
Leia interjects.
Never heard of it.
Lando's not a system, he's a man,
Han says, warming to the idea.
Lando Calrissian. He's a card player, gambler, scoundrel. You'd like him.
I don't like scoundrels.
You like me?
No, I don't.
Han ignores her.
He's on Bespin. Runs a gas mining colony there. Won it in a card game. We go way back, Lando and me. Well, that was a long time ago, Chewie.
What was?
Nothing.
So you can trust him?
Trust him? No. But he's got no love for the Empire. I can tell you that much.
Chewbacca lets out a warning bark as he reads the ship's sensors. They all brace themselves. In a slow avalanche, a mountain of junk, broken machinery, damaged steel, effluent, garbage, floats out into space. The Falcon detaches from the surface of the destroyer and floats away with it. The small crew watches the great warship. They are barely breathing. The Imperial Star Destroyer fires up its engines and then, boom, takes off into hyperspace. Han smiles. Leia lays a hand on his shoulder.
You do have your moments, she says.
Not many, but you have them.
Han prides himself on keeping things pretty cool, but with Leia's hand on his shoulder and her compliment ringing in his ears, his cool heart beats just a little harder.
Once the Star Cruiser fleet has completely disappeared, The Falcon powers up its engines and leaves the field of space junk, charting a course for Lando's colony on Bespin. A few minutes later, a small ship, the Slave One, nestled among the space junk and filthy with the desert sands of a distant planet called Tatooine, powers up, wends its way through the detritus, and silently follows the Millennium Falcon. The City in the Clouds. Chapter 23. Bespin is a shimmering pink planet, all gases and clouds, like soap suds. It lies in the fabric of space like a pink marble would lie on a black blanket. Beautiful, out of place. Floating in the lower atmosphere, crystalline and shimmering, like a child's top molded in platinum, is Cloud City, the center of the mining operations on the north side of the planet. A single silver tendril descends toward the gaseous surface of the world below. The Millennium Falcon banks, adjusting its course for the skybound town.
It's a gas mining community,
Han explains.
Lando's in charge of the whole thing. Hard to believe, since I've never known him to run anything larger than a card table. But he's been here for years.
Two laser bolts hit either side of the ship, sending it lurching right, then left. Chewie roars. Han looks at the scopes. Two small patrol ships have taken position just behind them. Through the Falcon's intercom come the words,
"You have not been granted permission to land."
Han replies,
"I know. I'm looking for Lando. Lando Calrissian."
"He has identified your vessel. You are to follow us. Do not deviate from your course."
The small crew of the Millennium Falcon look at one another.
"Touchy, aren't they?"
C-3PO chirrups. Leia is looking hard at Han.
"I thought you were friends with this guy."
"There's nothing to worry about,"
Han assures her through gritted teeth. Leia sighs.
"Who's worried?"
The landing pad is empty. Pink clouds float by, pushed by a wind that smells faintly sweet, like someone is cooking pancakes and drenching them with syrup. It's actually the smell of the predominant gas in Bespin's atmosphere, rethan. It isn't toxic to humans, at least not very. Han, Leia, C-3PO, and Chewbacca walk down the gangway of the Millennium Falcon, the motliest, least impressive crew of a pirate ship this side of the galaxy. They gaze around for some sort of welcoming party. C-3PO huffs.
"No one here to meet us. Quite rude."
Leia shakes her head.
"I don't like this."
"On the other hand, they did let us land."
Han tells them all not to worry, but his voice and face are anything but reassuring. And then, a door on the far side of the platform opens, and a dashing man steps through. A long cape dances behind him as he strides forward, and a pencil-thin mustache perches like an ornament just above his lips. A dozen security guards march behind him, followed finally by an officious-looking manservant with a bald head and an electronic command system fastened to his ears. The caped man looks furious.
"See?"
Han whispers to his gang.
"My friend, Lando."
And then to Chewbacca, he adds,
"Maybe go get the bowcaster."
The man's voice is rising as he approaches.
"Why, you slimy, double-crossing, no-good swindler! You've got a lot of guts coming here, after the stunt you pulled!"
He's coming at Han hard, and with increasing speed. Han sets his feet and curls his hands into fists. As Lando comes within reach, he throws a hard right at Han. The space pirate ducks, and then is pulled into an embrace? The landing party stares, confused. But Lando is laughing.
"How you doing, you old pirate?"
Lando, as dashing and handsome a man as you've ever met, pulls back and looks at Han. He shakes his head. He's still laughing.
"You look like a mess."
"And you look like a businessman,"
Han shoots back. Lando laughs some more. The two of them turn and, arms around each other's shoulders, start for the doors. The manservant with the headset dismisses the guards, who troop in unison inside and out of sight.
Well, he seems friendly,
C-3PO announces, falling into line behind the old mates.
Yeah, Leia mutters. Charming.
As they pass through the fine, silvered sliding doors, Lando says,
So what are you doing here?
Repairs.
Han gestures back at the Falcon.
I thought you could help me out.
Lando looks alarmed.
What have you done to my ship?
Your ship?
Han stops, and the group following them pulls up short. He is gesturing at his chest with his thumb.
You lost her to me, fair and square.
Fair? You never played a hand of cards fair in your life.
Are you accusing me of cheating?
Are you denying it?
The two men glower at each other for a second. 3 seconds? 5? Leia glances at Chewbacca to see if he's got a blaster. And then, the two men break up laughing. Leia exhales and rolls her eyes. Men, as egotistical as roosters, and about as smart. The corridors of the mining colony are wide and shining. The floors are an expensive, marble-like stone, and frequent windows give out onto a breathtaking view of the lower atmosphere.
Well?
Han asks.
How's the mining business?
Lando sighs, the sigh of the fortunate.
Oh, you know, never making quite the profit you want. You got your supply problems, then your labor disputes, and once you take care of those, there's...
Han begins laughing again.
What's so funny?
Listen to you.
Han grins.
Since when were you a responsible businessman?
Lando shakes his head ruefully.
Yeah, I suppose I'm responsible these days. It's the price you pay for being successful.
Leia is watching him, listening. She notes a sudden something in his voice that she has not heard before. Maybe it's regret, she tells herself. The group walks on. C-3PO, tottering behind as usual, spies another protocol droid, a 3PO unit emerging from a side room.
Oh, hello,
he calls.
Ejuta,
replies the droid. C-3PO stops, stunned.
How rude.
Ejuta is, of course, Huttese. It is absolutely not appropriate to translate. Maybe when you're older. Then, from the room from which the rude 3PO unit just emerged, C-3PO hears the characteristic beeping of an R2.
That sounds just like... I wonder...
As Lando leads the way around a corner and into the next hallway, C-3PO follows the beeping sounds, thinking that maybe, just maybe, he might find his friend. He does not. Instead, his eyes get very bright. And then, he is shot! Right in the chest! And he explodes! Lesson Tau. Prepare for the darkness. Scatter objects across the floor. Recruit someone to throw soft objects at you. Stand on one foot. Keep your eyes open. Breathe. Hop across the floor on one foot, avoiding the scattered stuff. Your assistant should gently throw the objects at you. Bat them away as you hop. Stay calm. This should be fun. Difficult things are fun when your mind is not disturbed by fear or anger or pride. Breathe. The darkness is coming. Chapter 24. Leia is pacing in a luxurious apartment. The windows look like paintings too monotonously beautiful to hang in a museum. The furniture is made to look expensive, but was probably mass-produced on some moon in the Bethany system. The carpet makes the place marvelously soundproof, eerily so. The doors slide open silently, and Han walks in.
Repairs are almost finished,
he announces.
2 or 3 more things and we're in great shape.
Leia turns to him. Worry is etched in lines above her nose, and her eyebrows are arched. The sooner we go, the better. Something's wrong here. Where's C-3PO? I haven't seen him for hours, and no one can tell me anything. Han takes Leia by the shoulders. He gives her his best roguish smile.
Relax. I'll talk to Lando, see what I can figure out.
Leia shakes her head. I don't trust him.
Me neither.
Han laughs.
But he is my friend. And besides, we'll be gone soon.
The doors to the apartment open again. Chewbacca enters, carrying a box full of golden parts. An arm sticks forlornly up from the junk. The Wookiee roars. What happened? Leia cries, running to him.
What?
Han exclaims.
You found him in a junk room? They were gonna incinerate him?
Leia looks desperately at the golden droid's broken pieces. Can he be fixed?
Lando's got them in.
At exactly the same time, Leia and Chewie say, No! And...
Okay.
Han raises his arms.
Do it yourself, then.
Chewbacca lowers himself onto a plush footstool, setting the box of droid parts before him. He gazes into it miserably. Again, the doors slide open. This time, it is the suave, smiling Lando Calrissian. He sweeps into the room, his cape swishing behind him like he's some wealthy, complacent superhero.
Princess,
he exclaims. He approaches her, takes her hand, and kisses it.
You look radiant. You really do belong with us, here above the clouds.
Han rolls his eyes.
Would you care to join me for a little refreshment?
Lando continues, gazing into Leia's face. She returns the stare coolly, and then looks to Han.
Oh, you're all invited,
Lando adds. Han nods. Leia reclaims her hand. Just then, Lando notices Chewbacca, who is holding C-3PO's head in his great paws.
Having a little trouble with your droid?
No,
Han replies, brushing past him.
No trouble. Why?
Lando shrugs and follows Han into the corridor. As they walk through the glittering halls, Lando talks business.
You see, we've been a small enough operation not to fall under the, jurisdiction of the Empire, you might say.
Leia is ignoring him. She scans each door and corridor for signs of something wrong. All seems normal. Even this worries her. Han is only half listening to his old friend.
You're not afraid the Empire will find out?
I will. Not anymore.
They are approaching the dining room.
You see, we've recently made a deal that'll keep us in business for a good long time.
Han nods. Lando opens the formal dining room's bright white door. Han and Leia enter and stop. Standing at the head of a long, glittering dining table is Darth Vader. Lesson Upsilon, the beginning of the end. Now, my young pupil, we are coming to the most difficult tests, the final ones. Succeed in these, and you will not be a Jedi. Not yet. But you will know that you can be. That you are truly walking the path. Think of someone or something that infuriates you. Not a pet peeve, like someone peeing on a toilet seat. Oh, that does make me want to take a lightsaber to the entire bathroom. Think of a time when you felt really hurt by something someone did or said. Or think about something that strikes you as so deeply unfair, it is almost unbearable. Let your mind explore those feelings. Your anger, your rage, your humiliation. When I say go, I want you to stand and balance a book on your head. Close your eyes. Get someone to throw things at you again. As they do, raise your hands. If you can block the objects, good. If not, that's okay, too. As you balance that book and sense the objects, I want you to spell your name backward. And then the city you live in. And then the state. And then the country. Keep blocking the objects. And as you do all this, let the anger, the rage that you are feeling, just pass away. Let it lift from you so you are standing straight and tall and calm. If you are doing it right, you may even start to smile. Despite the objects being thrown at you and the book on your head,
and the angry thoughts that had been exploding through your synapses just moments ago. Why do you smile? Because it is pleasurable to be at peace. Go. Chapter 25. Han has never known such pain. It rushes through his body in waves, burning his calves, lacerating his thighs, making his stomach churn as if it's being blended, straining his spine and neck until he's certain they will snap, and then filling his head with such a pressure, such a terrible building pressure, that he decides with what little consciousness he has left that the rest was merely a prelude, and that the real intention of all this has been to make his head explode. Suddenly, the pain stops. Han gasps for breath. Every cubic millimeter of his body throbs, throbs, throbs. Now come the questions, he thinks. He waits. He can hear Vader breathing somewhere in the room. He must have been screaming because his ears are ringing and his throat feels as if it's been shredded.
I'll talk,
Han wants to say.
Just ask me and I'll tell you.
He never thought he would be the one to spill the rebellion's secrets, but he's never felt pain like this. There are no questions, though. Suddenly, the burning begins in his calves again, making its way up his thighs.
No! He screams. Please!
Lando is waiting outside the door when Vader leaves the room.
You said you wouldn't hurt him.
Vader sweeps by the old card sharp to where Boba Fett, the bounty hunter, is waiting.
Once I have Skywalker,
Vader intones, his voice a gentle tapping on the galaxy's largest, deepest gong,
you may take him to Jabba the Hutt.
Hey! Lando interjects. That wasn't what we agreed.
Vader turns slowly, his cape rustling.
Perhaps,
he says,
you'd like to renegotiate the agreement.
Lando's skin is suddenly cold, and his stomach feels like it's being dangled off a bridge. He manages to stammer.
No. Good.
Vader starts for the door.
Meet me in the carbon freezing chamber in 1/2 hour.
Boba Fett follows him down the corridor.
This deal gets worse every second,
Lando mutters. He follows Vader into the corridor, but then turns left when Vader goes straight. He is hurrying down the shining halls, cursing every gratuitous piece of silver on every gratuitous window.
It's all gratuitous, Lando thinks. Pointless. Worthless. What have I done?
He comes to a door at the end of a hallway and punches a security code into a pad on the wall. When the door slides open, Lando sees Leia crouched over Han, who looks like a broken doll, while Chewbacca works on reassembling C-3PO. Han is whimpering.
He didn't even ask me anything.
He seems more than half dead. Leia looks only a little better. When they catch sight of Lando, Han attempts to rise.
Why, you...
Save it!
Lando snaps.
No time. Look, Vader's agreed to turn Chewie and Leia over to me. They'll have to stay here, but at least they'll be safe.
And Han?
Leia asks, glaring steadily at Lando.
Vader's given him to the bounty hunter.
Han groans.
Then I am dead.
He wants us all dead,
Leia adds. But Lando shakes his head.
He doesn't want you at all. He wants someone else, someone called Skywalker.
Leia closes her eyes, as if somehow she has known all along.
Vader set a trap for him.
Of course, Leia moans. And we're the bait.
This Skywalker is apparently already on his way.
Han staggers to his feet, holding on to Leia and Lando for support.
Well, you fixed us pretty good, pal.
I'm sorry.
Lando is arrested mid-thought by a vicious left hook to the jaw. He falls. Han falls on top of him, still swinging. Lando hits Han in the mouth with an elbow.
Stop!
C-3PO cries. His head has been reattached to his body. Backward.
Oh, stop that. You won't solve anything that way.
Chewie drops the droid and helps Leia tug the two men apart. The former friends stare at one another, gasping.
I've done all I can, Lando heaves. I'm sorry. I've got my own problems.
Han wipes blood from his mouth.
Yeah, you're a real hero, businessman.
The word stings Lando like a swarm of Ratatacky and Red Jackets. He rises and limps from the cell like a whipped dog. Han lowers himself gingerly onto a crate. Leia comes to his side, half smiling.
Well, she says, I must admit, you certainly have a way with people.
The chamber is dark, like a great cave. Somewhere, a massive machine hums. Red lights blink along the walls of the room, while the floor glows a pulsating royal blue. At the chamber's center, there is a pit. Cool carbon gas seeps up from it, seeping into the corners and crevices of hulking industrial equipment. Darth Vader is inspecting the pit. Boba Fett stands to his left. Lando is hanging back.
I want Skywalker led in here,
Vader intones, his voice somehow even grander and more sinister in the cavernous steel room.
We will freeze him for transport back to the Emperor.
Lord Vader, Lando says, we only use this for carbon freezing. If you put this Skywalker in there, it might kill him.
Vader exhales. He is thinking. At last he says,
I do not want the Emperor's prize damaged. We will test it on Captain Solo.
Vader raises a hand, and four stormtroopers rush out into the corridor to retrieve the space pirate. Vader's fingers begin to explore the controls of the freezing unit like a surgeon laying out his knives and scalpels. Carbon gas seeps into the room. Lando shivers. A moment later, the stormtroopers reappear, flanking Han, Leia, and Chewbacca with a partially assembled C-3PO strapped to the Wookiee's back. C-3PO is shouting,
Turn outbound, you overgrown mop! I can't see a thing! How can I help if I can't see?
When Han glimpses Lando, he sneers.
Hey, buddy. What's the party for?
The group of prisoners is led to the edge of the pit. Lando looks grim.
You're being put into carbon freeze.
What if he doesn't survive?
Boba Fett suddenly objects.
He's worth a lot to me.
Vader is not interested.
The Empire will compensate you if he dies. Put him in.
His fingers are now flying over the controls of the carbon freezing unit. Chewbacca swings his great arms, knocking two stormtroopers senseless. Two more leap onto him, while a third trains his blaster on the Wookiee's chest.
Oh, stop! Stop!
Save it, Chewie!
Han shouts. He puts an arm on his huge, hairy first mate.
Listen, I need you to keep your head. You gotta look out for Leia, okay? Don't get killed. I'll be okay.
Han says. He does not sound confident. Chewie howls again. I don't know what that means. Han turns to Leia. Before he knows what's happening, she's kissing him. Then she whispers, I love you. He smiles his crooked smile and winks.
I know.
Suddenly, Han is wrenched backward by stormtroopers. Chewbacca is howling. Leia is choking back tears. C-3PO is explaining the odds of Han's survival. No one is listening to C-3PO. The stormtroopers thrust the limp, exhausted space pirate onto the platform, which begins to descend slowly. Leia is about to be sick. She can't take it. She feels like her insides are being torn apart by Alderaanian wolf cats. She rushes to the edge of the freezing chamber, but a blast of carbon gas shoots up into her face, casting her back.
Vader himself is operating the controls.
Mm-hmm.
Chewie roars again. Leia hides her eyes.
Don't worry, C-3PO chirps. He should be quite well protected by the carbonite. If, that is, he survives the freezing process, which I've concluded stands at a 453 to...
More steam. Then a cascade of liquid carbonite, illuminated by a million sparks. They reflect off of Vader's impassive black mask. The process ends. With a shuddering creak, two great tongs are lowered into the pit. Up from the gloom, they draw a metal rectangle, frozen carbonite. Han Solo's face protrudes from its surface, locked in a scream of agony. Leia looks, and then hides her face again. Chewbacca starts to make a rush for Han, but the muzzle of a blaster reminds him to stay put. Lando has moved to Han's side, where an electronic readout is registering on a small screen.
He's okay,
Lando announces.
He's hibernating. He's fine.
He's all yours, Bounty Hunter,
Vader replies.
Reset the chamber for Skywalker.
To the Stormtrooper Commander, he says,
take the Princess and the Wookiee to my ship.
Lando objects.
You said they'd be left with me.
I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further. Now leave me. Skywalker has arrived. I can sense it.
Lesson 5. Fear itself. What are you afraid of? Don't tell me. Don't say it out loud. I have a policy about that. If you tell someone what you're most afraid of, then one day it might be used against you somehow. Just think about it. What truly scares you? Close your eyes. Ask someone to time you or set a timer for 30 seconds. Imagine that terrifying thing. Really imagine it. Picture it before you. Convince yourself that it is happening. Once the time is up, reset the timer or have your assistant count again. This time, close your eyes, breathe, and smile. Fear is in your mind. It cannot hurt you. It has been said that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. This is true. You are a part of the Force. What is the worst that can happen to you? You are hurt? You are sick? You pass away? When those things happen, you are merely changing forms, becoming something new. The Force is with you, and you are with the Force. You and the Force are one. Chapter 26. You steer your X-Wing through the pink Pacific clouds of Bespin. R2-D2 beeps a question at you. You can barely hear him. Before your eyes are your best friends, screaming in pain, writhing under needles and blades, barking with fear and whimpering in horror. R2 asks the question again. C-3PO is with them, you respond. I can sense it. Your X-Wing settles on a deserted landing pad. After scoping it out, to ensure there will be no unpleasant surprises, you help R2 down from his perch at the back of the ship. You consider leaving him behind, for his own safety. But he's a brave little droid, and he could come in handy. Indeed, you haven't gone 3 meters when you reach the door to the landing pad and find that it refuses to open. R2 extends his interface arm and inserts it in the universal computer communication port. You wait. Han and Leia are no longer screaming in your head. Rather, they are silent. Eerily, frighteningly silent. Your palms sweat, and your legs quiver. You try to calm yourself. Fear, you know, is your greatest enemy. Fear leads to the dark side. And yet you cannot control the cold sweat beating on the back of your neck. With a hiss, the door slides open. You sidle into the glassy hallway.
The floor shines as your feet sidestep their way down its length. Your back remains in contact with the white wall as you move. Your lightsaber dangles at your side. You'll save that for Vader. You unholster your blaster. Who is here? Suddenly you sense it. It feels like someone has walked into a room where you've been sleeping. You sense him and wake. His presence is like Ben's once was, except inverted. Every feeling you had for your teacher, your mentor, the closest thing you ever had to a father, is flipped. Love is hatred. Peace is fear. The cold sweat has spread, crawling down your back and up your scalp. Vader, who killed Ben. Vader, who killed your father before that. Here, waiting for you. And then, as you look around a corner, you see them. Leia and Chewbacca, with C-3PO tied in pieces to Chewie's back. They are being led by a powerful-looking man with a pencil-thin mustache and a cape, and are surrounded by stormtroopers. Behind the stormtroopers marches a platoon of mining colony security guards. They are all armed. Chewie must have smelled you. He looks in your direction and howls. Not a good plan. A hail of laser fire explodes all around you. You duck behind the corner. R2, hiding in your shadow, is beeping and worried. You lean out and fire a few laser blasts before ducking back behind the wall. You are breathing hard, but you are surprised to realize none of this scares you. Still, you need to be careful. You don't want to hit the princess. Leia screams, "Luke! Luke!" You pop around the wall again. Aiming a blaster feels different than it used to. You don't have to aim so much. You can feel where the stormtroopers are, as if you were reaching into a box blindfolded and feeling the difference between socks and knives. You fire at the knives. They begin to fall.
Luke!
Leia screams again.
It's a trap! A trap!
As soon as the words are out, Leia is picked up and hurried down the hall.
Go back! It's a...
Doors close, and she, Chewbacca, and C-3PO are gone. You know it's a trap. You've known since Dagobah. And now that you're here, you know you didn't come to save Leia and Han. If you save them, that will be no more than a side effect. You came here because Vader is here. You realize it now. He called you to face him, and you will. Lando leads the stormtroopers away from their melee with Skywalker, striding far out ahead. He's pressing some buttons on a wristband without slowing his pace. In another wing of the colony, his bald manservant's headset lights up. The man's eyes fly open. He presses a button by his temple in rapid, silent code. Suddenly, the stormtroopers aren't following Lando anymore. He feels it. He turns. He smiles. The stormtroopers' hands are in the air, and the platoon of security guards are aiming blasters at their heads.
Take them away,
Lando orders the security guards. The stormtroopers are led to a nearby holding cell. Lando turns to Leia.
Come on, Princess, he says. Let's get to the east platform. It's not too late to...
Lando's words are choked off by two enormous paws.
Chewbacca!
C-3PO cries, trying to see from his position on the Wookiee's back.
What are you doing?
The great Chewbacca is choking Lando. That's what he's doing. He's pushing the gambler down to his knees, squeezing the air from his windpipe.
Head! No choice!
Lando gasps. Chewbacca squeezes harder.
Oh, we understand, Leia says, bending over him. You had no choice.
Chewbacca, trust him! Trust him!
C-3PO is crying. Leia suddenly lays her hand on Chewie's arm.
Wait, I think he's saying Han.
Chewbacca loosens his grip.
a little. Lando gasps with relief.
It's not too late to save Han. Bounty Hunter, east platform.
Chewbacca lets him fall. Lando is sucking in air.
That way!
He points.